Welcome to Hearts and Minds, a podcast that will help you to discover the extraordinary in your everyday life. Whether it's in your work, relationships, or your spiritual life, we discuss topics of faith and life in a way to suit the unspiritual and devout alike. Wherever you are on your journey, this podcast should speak to you, and we are delighted you are here. This is Maura Cassidy, and I'm here with Cleena Summers, and we're going to discuss the topic dating, waiting, and marriage. And this is the first part on marriage. Cleena is living in Maynooth. She's married to Keith, and she has four lovely children. You're very welcome, Cleena. Thank you for joining us in Hearts and Minds.
Thank you today. For having me on this lovely sunny morning.
I know, it is a lovely sunny morning, isn't
it? It's fabulous, yeah.
After our, I don't know, snow,
rainy winter, cold, second day of March.
So we're doing good.
Yeah.
Well, we're in March, let's put it that way. So tell us a bit, why are you a fan of marriage?
Well, why am I a fan of marriage? This is a good question. You know, and as I was driving out here this morning, I was thinking, what am I going to say about marriage and kids? This morning I had to get up and thought I'd tiptoe out of the house nice and quietly at 7 o'clock and no one would hear me, and had my shower and all was going very successful until I tiptoed past the baby's room and he said, "Mom." So I had to get up and change his nappy, and it turned out everybody else was downstairs. So I had to do a bit of a meet and greet with my own children before I left. So, but anyway, why am I a fan of marriage? Well, I love being married to my wonderful husband. He's everything that I'm not. Mm-hmm. He's late and messy. No, I'm only joking. He's not late and messy. He's genuinely kind of my other half. Like, he looks at things the way I wouldn't. We kind of have a complementarity in that way. And I think that's the beauty of being married. You kind of usually are attracted to someone who's the opposite. And that works really well when you're trying to, you know, look after the project of children and, you know, everyday life. Like, he can see the big picture while I, you know, freak out about the little things. You know, he could, like, if somebody told him, you know, "We can move your house tomorrow. We can get you sorted. Would you like to do that?" You know, he'd be ready to go. And I'd be thinking, "Oh, wait, you know, I had to line up all these tiny little things, like put a wash on, get the dishwasher sorted," you know. And so anyway, I think that complementarity works really well. And, you know, he is like, I feel like I am married. I know it's really cheesy and American, but I feel like I'm married to my best friend, you know. We were very lucky to have a good long courtship, as they say. And, you know, we had such a nice time learning about each other and just becoming friends, and then to get to be able to spend my life with him. I think it's the most beautiful thing. And then I suppose kids as well. I mean, I did think before I got married, I'm going to be this modern mom. I'm going to have it all. I'm going to still live my single life. I'll have my hobbies. I will have my job. Kids aren't going to get in the way of that. You know, I'll manage it all. And then these kids came into my life and I thought, oh my God, this is the most amazing love I've ever experienced. I never thought, I think we'll talk more about that later, but I just never saw myself as that kind of maternal type. And I have to say, like, just being married and having children has definitely brought out the best in me. It's definitely changed me in a lot of ways that I wouldn't have seen coming. So I think we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but
exactly. And Cleena, can I just dig into something there? Because a lot of people out there, there's a big fear. There's a big fear of marriage because maybe their experiences, maybe in their own families, haven't been so great about marriage. There's a fear of kids.
Yeah.
You know, how can I provide for them? The world that we live in is a bit crazy. Do I really want to bring kids into this world? So why, can you talk to that fear really?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely would have had that. I mean, I think in today's society, it's a very individualistic society. So the idea of marriage and giving yourself over to someone is scary. Like, it's nuts when you think about it. Like, me and Keith often say to each other, you know, we could be lying in bed chatting and we'll say, "Can you believe we didn't know each other at one point? And now we have children together." Like, so for 18 years, 20 years of our lives, we didn't know each other. Now we're like madly in love and we have four kids together. It's absolutely nuts. It's nuts that it could work at all, but I do think it works because it's a natural design. You know, like, it's very natural that a man and woman come together and create children. I think it's a very natural design. I also believe that it's God's design, and I do think that's why it actually manages to work. When you think about two personalities coming in beside each other and, you know, working through life together, sometimes you think, how is this going to work? Mm. You know, and it does, you know, and good marriages, I do think, are the glue to society. They just provide stability. And so I just encourage people to kind of look out of their fear a little bit to the bigger picture, I suppose.
Mm. And what you say, just add to that, is that sometimes we just really base our decisions on what we have personally experienced.
Yes.
What I can see, what I can touch, and what I've personally experienced. Whereas stepping into marriage is you're stepping into a future together and creating something new,
yes,
which necessarily means you have not experienced it. And it's not going to be the same as your parents' marriage, your friend's marriage, your brother's or sister's marriage. Mm. It's yours. So, and how that marriage unfolds a lot to do with the individuals. There's agency there.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a given, it's going to be a particular way. And that's exciting or a fear factor.
Well, I mean, it's like any new job, isn't it? I mean, you just got to embrace it and take the good with the bad.
Mm.
And I think once you embrace that idea that there is going to be good and bad, it won't be so scary anymore, you know, that it's a journey, like any big decision in life. But sorry, something you said there just
struck you. It'll come back. Can I just jump in there as well? Because the previous podcast we had, it was Governor O'Grady talking about 58 years of marriage.
Yes.
And it was very interesting hearing somebody looking back on her marriage. Mm-hmm. One of the things, you know, that was very striking, you know, what kept her going? Because there was really genuine challenges in that, in
tough
her
times,
marriage.
Yeah.
And she said, because I knew this was permanent. We were going to stick this out together no matter what happened. And that gave me such a sense of peace and security no matter what happened. I never questioned him.
Yeah.
I questioned him in terms of why the hell can't be somebody else, I'm sure. But, or why can't I be something else? But I knew that we were committed to the project.
Yeah, there's such a beauty, I think, in those vows that you make, those promises. There's such a security in them, even though that's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? You're like, oh wait, I'm not free because I've made this promise to stay here. But there's such a beauty to that, because you can always come back to that vow and go, all right, that's where I'm basing this on. So what do I have to do to fulfill that vow? You know, so when the bad times come, look, I promised to be with this person, you know, in good times, bad, what do I got to do now to make it work? Okay, the goalposts have changed from what I thought they were going to be, but I'm still going to make it work because I've made a promise. It's like having kids. You can't go back. You
know,
you have them now. You've got to now adapt and change and work with what you have, basically. But there's such a beauty in that. And I think, you know, we hear a lot about that in modern society, that it's good to do that in your job. Why not good to do it in your marriage and with your kids? And something that's so, good for society, you know, why not work on that? I just think marriage is such a beautiful thing. And it's not often portrayed as that, you know, even with movies and things like that, you think it's going to be all romance. And, you know, you see these TikTok videos of like girls who've thought, you know, what marriage was going to be like versus what it really is. And like, you know, they have this idea of like passionately falling through the door, kissing and like getting to, you know, embrace wherever they can or in the house. And the reality is more like, you know, taking out the bins, putting on your spot cream and getting your hair up in your towel and sitting down watching TV together, probably on your phone for 10 minutes together, but not talking. And, you know, that's a reality. But there's a beauty in that too, because again, you're getting to share that journey with your best friend. And, you know, well, I just think I wouldn't have it any other way. Like I often say to Keith, and it's hard to say this out loud, but because it's so super cheesy, but I'm like, I wouldn't be doing this with anyone else. Like, I am so happy where I'm at. It's so normal, but there's beauty in the normalness, I suppose. Mm.
And is that a journey, like, for every couple to reach? Because it doesn't start, like, you know, there's many misconceptions about marriage and you've just shared them there. You know, when did it hit you that marriage wasn't all those misconceptions to get you to where you are now, where you realize, this is what I've always wanted?
Yeah, I suppose... Well, we did a very old-fashioned style of courtship, shall we say. And, you know, when we got married, I suppose you have these thoughts that everything's going to be fireworks. And it's not quite that. It's definitely a journey of working out things together, whether that's your physical intimate life or even your emotional intimate life. It takes communication. It doesn't just happen. Like, it takes... It's like a garden. It takes tending. You know, you have to attend to it. You need to put the work in. And I suppose I didn't really realize that. I was like, oh, this will just happen naturally.
Mm.
But you have to put the work in. It's like, I remember they used to say to you in fourth year, you know, you get out of TY what you put into it.
Classic.
But it's so true. Yeah. You know, it's the same as marriage. And you probably, you know, we definitely were like, oh, the wedding day, it's going to be perfect.
Like everybody, let's be honest.
Yeah, like you know, that. We're totally guilty of just being like, let's have a great band. The food has to be amazing. You know, want everyone dancing for the whole night. They want to remember this wedding as the best wedding, you know. And they were like, oh, we should have been preparing for the time after, you know. And I do remember, in a funny way, we laugh about it now, but we came home from Barberstown Castle. We got married in Wicklow and then had our reception there in Barberstown Castle. And it was fabulous, absolutely lovely day. Like, we were happiest we've ever been, other than when our children arrived. And then coming back in the car, I started crying. And my husband was like, oh my God, Cleo, are you okay? You know, are you happy? And I was like, yeah, no, I think I'm happy. Yeah, no, I am. And of course, I was delighted. But in that moment, it kind of hit me, oh my gosh, like, my life has changed. Like, I have to share a bed now with somebody forever. That space is gone. You know, I need to move, you know, in a natural way, move away from my family and make a new family. And there was a little bit of a stage of grieving the life that I had and moving on to the next life, which is very exciting, but also like a massive reality hits you, and there's a bit of a fear. And I think that's a good thing to be able to acknowledge you're grieving a stage of your life and you're moving on to the next.
I suppose it's a journey, isn't it, really?
Massive.
You kind of have to do a big reframing there. Mm. It's not the day, it's the journey.
Exactly. And I was just going to say, I think like if we viewed it more like a marathon, like, you know, marriage as a marathon, we might kind of see the need for the training, you know, the preparing for the after, the wedding day, because like you don't just get out of bed one day and go, I think I'll run 42 kilometers.
Yeah,
like it'd be insane. You'd be injured. You wouldn't finish it. You'd probably never attempt it again. And the same like with marriage, you need to kind of prepare for that. And there's lots of factors at play for like a happy, healthy marriage. And I think they all begin when you're single and in the dating stages. So like, it's important to kind of look at those.
And I suppose just to jump in, I suppose just a comment is that it's also what you choose to focus on, you know, in the sense that it's a journey. So it's, you know, and you can choose in the journey to focus on things that you find personally hard, or you can choose to focus on the things that you go, you know, this is lovely, or isn't this beautiful, or isn't this? And that the pain, I heard a guy talking more about time management actually, and he said time is pain.
Yes.
And it's a very interesting idea, because his whole point was, is that you don't really experience the joy and deep joy. I mean, you're not just contentment of, you know, having your favorite food and watching, having the remote in your hand.
Yeah.
It's more the joy of choosing what you want to suffer a little bit for.
Yeah.
Or choosing what you're going to put the effort in for.
Yeah, what you're going to work for.
Yeah.
Work
and and would you say marriage is the same in a bigger scale, because you're choosing to put effort into something which is an amazing project, which is different for every couple.
Yeah, I definitely do think that, because there's moments where me and Keith will talk now and it's in retrospect, we go, wow, look at how amazing it all is.
Yeah.
But in the day-to-day, it's tough and you're doing the mundane tasks for your children and for your, you know, just keeping the house going. And it's only in retrospect, you take a few moments, you look back and you go, look, we've done. Like, we have four kids who are still alive. You know, they're happy. And you just think, this is what all the day-to-day effort has achieved. You know, and it's a beautiful thing. And yeah, there is a deep joy there. It's not this kind of happy joy. You don't get up every morning and go, woohoo, I'm going to take out the bins today, you know, and I'm going to get my kids to school and Keith's going to get off and work and, you know, make sure he brings home the bacon. It's, you know, it's normal everyday life that can be tough and challenging. But I think, looking back, you just see the effort that's gone in and you go, it's totally worth it. And I can happily say to other people, I'm like, this is totally worth doing, you know. It's a fantastic achievement in a way. Even though it's more than an achievement, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. And even just as you say there, the fact that you and Keith take those moments to go reflect and go, I've changed, you've changed, look what we have. Like, it's so important, because you can be so tempted to have your nose against the wall and just see everything that it's not, or live in the I'm putting out the bins again, or I'm changing a nappy again, or my husband's late again, or I lost my cool again, as opposed to that's not it. That's just a tiny thing in the context of something incredible.
Absolutely.
Really.
I often think when you look back in your photos, so every parent has a gazillion photos of their children, even though they say they won't, and they look back in them in the evening, like big idiots after putting them all to bed. But I often look back at those big events where you're all dressed up together. So it could be like, you know, one of the kids' communions, it could be a birthday, and you look back in the photo and you go, and you all look well, you're all dressed up really well. And you go, wow, we did that. And you become so proud of yourself. And it's like, nobody knows the work that goes on behind that photo to get it looking that well. But actually, when you see it all, you're like, you're just so proud. And it makes you so happy. And I remember telling a friend of mine who just had a set of twins after having two children. It was a big shock to him. I just said, you know, as he sent a photo of the baptism of the twins, and I said, do you feel just so chuffed? Like, that is your whole family right there, dressed up, everyone's looking well, and you're beaming, you know, you're thinking, we did this.
Yeah, you know,
it's a great feeling.
Yeah, and of course, as you say, every christening or birthday party, there's always a lot of drama as well. Like, if somebody's in bad form, or some kid has gone off and had a tantrum, there's so many other elements, and yet you go, the shadow and the light and all these things.
Yeah.
Cliona, why, you know, I know you're a person of faith. And for those listening in who have, you know, a faith or who are curious and would like to have it, in what way does faith have a bearing on your marriage?
Massively so, I suppose. But I'll try and keep it short and simple. But a big kind of motivator for me and Keith in our courtship and our kind of aiming towards marriage and a faithful marriage would have been John Paul and his Theology of the Body. I loved reading about his understanding of marriage and sexuality. Like, it was kind of mind-blowing to think that an old guy came up with such amazing theology behind marriage. So just a couple of things that he reverts back to this all the time, that marriage needs to be free, it needs to be total, fruitful and faithful. And these are the kind of four key things that marriage has to be. Obviously, it has to be free. We need to choose it. We can't feel, you know, forced into it. It needs to be total. That, like, marriage, unlike today's society, where we can give a little bit of ourselves and withhold a little bit of ourselves, you know, here and there, or maybe a modern understanding of marriage is, I still have my single life, but we're under the same roof. Whereas I suppose the Catholic or, you know, Christian concept of marriage is that it's total, like, it gives the whole self to your spouse. Like, you can't emotionally give yourself and physically withhold yourself, nor can you give yourself physically and withhold your emotional. You know, it's your whole self. You've got to blend all parts of you with your other half and you become one. So it's total. And I just think that's beautiful. That's, for me, it signifies a real togetherness, you know. And that's what I would always want from, I think anyone would want that regardless of their faith. They want to be together with their spouse on everything. It needs to be fruitful. So, like, you know, the beauty of marriage is that the gift of physical intimacy is children, you know. The fact that children can be created from, you know, the act of sex is just, it's kind of mind-blowing. Like people say, the chances of existence are kind of actually very minimal. You know, when you think about a sperm meeting an egg and someone's identity being formed in that moment, like, it's kind of, it's amazing. So anyway, just that, you know, marriage has to be fruitful and obviously it has to be faithful. I think that's kind of self-explanatory. It needs to be kind of mutually exclusive. I don't know, do you want me to continue? I've lots to say.
No, it's really powerful stuff.
The thing I found kind of mind-blowing is that the church understands sex as being holy. And I was like, what? This can't be true.
Yeah,
you know, because as we have this old kind of Irish Catholic tradition understanding that sex is bad. But as I look back, I'm thinking, like, when you read John Paul's Theology of the Body, he talks about sex as being holy. And I'm like, this is why the church wanted to protect it so much. Because it's so beautiful, it's so powerful, it's so potential in that it can create life, that it is holy. And so there's a desire to protect that, I think, on behalf of the church. And now I see that, I get that. I'm like, yeah, it needs to be protected because it can be easily used or abused. So I know Father Mike Schmitz talks about this. As we understand in the Catholic tradition, marriage is actually a sacrament. Like, it's the same as going to Mass and receiving the Eucharist.
Which is incredible. I just don't think enough people out there, people actually. Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't. Like, literally until, I think it was a month ago, I listened to Father Mike Schmitz and he was like, you know, he talks really, really, really fast. And he goes, you know, every marital embrace, when it's done, you know, in the state of grace, you know, it brings forth grace.
Wow.
Like as when you're going to the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. So obviously a married couple in the state of grace, and that means they're aiming towards a good, faithful life with God. When they come together in the state of grace, in the marital act, that produces a dose of sanctifying grace.
Mm.
Like that's mind-blowing. Like it's the same as going to the Eucharist.
I know. And we just associate it with pleasure.
Yeah.
We just think if it's pleasurable, then it's not really great. It's okay. It's human. It's allowed.
Yeah.
It's allowed. We don't think of it as kind of like God is actually present there and he's just giving you such a powerful wave of his life in you.
Yeah, because it's a sacrament in the Catholic Church, I think that's amazing. And like, I know it's kind of a weird concept, but you know, I've heard speakers talk about it before, but like, you know, God is part of the marriage. He's in the bedroom too.
You don't leave him outside.
Yeah, you don't leave him outside the door and say, we'll open the door when we're finished. You know, the kind of way. And there's, I just think that's kind of amazing. And that's why, like, it really helps me to aim higher for my marriage, to think, okay, well, if sex is understood as holy, I really have to, you know, aim for better between myself and my husband. We need to aim for, I don't know, I suppose, just a holier understanding of it. And that goes back to even as well, the church understands the family or the domestic church or the love between a man and a woman as representative of the Trinity. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that love between the Father and the Son and the fruit of that love being the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to mirror that in image. Mirror that like in our marriage. So for example, obviously, you know, the husband and the wife loving each other and the fruit of that being children. Like that's kind of amazing. Mm. Like that's what we're supposed to be mirroring. Mm. And so, yeah, I just find that kind of mind blowing. And I think people don't know that enough about the Catholic understanding of marriage.
Mm.
And I get it now. Like they probably didn't do it so great in the past, you know, to communicate the beauty of marriage and sex. They just understood that they had to protect sex. And so they probably went about it in the wrong way. But we do understand that it's so holy. It's so sanctifying. It's definitely sanctifying. Marriage is sanctifying. As in you have to push each other towards God, you know, and that through challenges. It needs to be protected, basically. So anyway, I could probably go on forever about that, but I just think...
No, but it's a really helpful and very important element to it. You personally, you know, when you think about the sacrament, you know, grace transforming you, Cleena Summers, or Cleena Edwards, as you were then. Can you give us a few little, maybe, reflections there that's just...
Yes.
On a more human, mundane level?
Yeah, I think you knew me before I was married.
When
I look back, even in my youth, I was like... such a tomboy. Like I'm probably
right.
There's still a hint of that there, but I do like my tag rugby and my
and long may that last.
Yeah, exactly. But massive tomboy. Like I look back in photos and I think, Mom, what did you let me wear? You know? Like it was shocking. I look back at photos with my own children the other day and they were like, that's not you. And I was like, that's me.
Mm.
You know, so anyway, massive tomboy. The idea, like that maternal instinct, I did not think I possessed whatsoever. Mm. I didn't possess it. So I was freaked out about the idea of having kids. I remember going for a walk with yourself. And telling you how angry I was with God that I had to give birth in the way that I had to give birth. I just thought it was so animalistic in a way. I just thought, why, God? It's like, you know, why can't we sit in an egg for 9 months? It would be so much easier. lots of people laugh at me for saying that. But I just could not get my head around the fact that I had to give birth in the way that humans do. And I do remember, like, even in my 20s, visiting friends of ours who had three small kids under the age of 2, I think it was.
Wow.
It was chaos. I remember, like, I was in my 20s. We were playing tag rugby. We were going out to the cinema. We were going out with friends. We were having fun. We were just going away for a night to visit our friends. And then, bam, I was hit with this reality of all these kids under 2, the amount of work it took, you know, for this couple to just get out the door to Mass on Sunday morning. And I thought, I don't want this. I don't want this. I love Keith, but I do not want this. I remember thinking, this is not for me.
Yeah, no control.
But I was like, but I was like, but I love Keith and I have to get married to him. But how am I going to do all this? And so that was an image of me before I got married.
Mm.
And so people say, why'd you get married then? The only cure for our dating was marriage per se. You know, I loved Keith. I knew I wanted to be with him. We did want to do things, in accordance with our faith, I suppose. So we lived a very old-fashioned lifestyle before getting married, if that makes sense. And now, like, I mean, if you can picture that image that I've just given you, now I have four kids that I've chosen to stay at home with. I would probably have another one if we had more space in the house. I'd also now love to be a midwife. I think giving birth is the most amazing thing in the world. I think to be able to help a woman in that time of need is such a privilege. To witness new life, you know, arriving into the world, such a privilege. Like, if I'm not a walking example of the transformative, like, power of marriage, like, I don't know what is. Like, it has completely transformed my outlook on life, on children, on even my vocation. You know, as by trade, I am a teacher, but, you know, if I ever get the chance, I will definitely try and go into midwifery. I just think it's so fabulous, the whole thing. So, yeah, I just think I can truly attest to the transformative grace of marriage and family and all that jazz.
That's been really, really great, Cliona. Thank you so much for sharing all that with us.
You're welcome.
And thank you, our listeners, for listening in today with us on our podcast episode on marriage with Cliona Summers. Cliona has quite a lot of great resources to include, including Theology of the Body, John Paul II. I know there's a podcaster out there who you'd like to tag in at the bottom, so we will include them underneath the episode of today. And just to ask and to thank those of you who send in great recommendations and suggestions for future topics. And look forward to being with you soon again.